make a...
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Plant-Based Afternoon Show. Matt, please be quiet. We're starting the show. We've got four of us today for an afternoon-style morning show. I should say morning-style show. Afternoon. It is morning in the West Coast regions, the nether regions. I like to call them the armpit of the country. Colorado, where two of us are. So technically is a morning show still. How's everyone doing? We got all four of us. This is good.
I thought the armpit was by Florida.
Well, armpit's the Midwest. Huh? Sorry, Midwestern.
What? I love the Midwest. Colorado based in the Midwest? I was born in Chicago. No. First of all, Colorado is
I was also born in Illinois.
Yeah, me too.
Illinois?
Colorado is not the Midwest. Colorado is the West. And as evidenced by the variety of people who like to wear cowboy hats and cowboy boots out here, it is the West. We are cowboys and skiers. Yes. It's a strange combination.
All right. Good. Well, we got a bunch of stuff to talk about. The biggest one is this: is cannabis help you with your running? That's the new subject of a new study. Interesting results, to say the least. We also got some interesting tidbits, including a vegan Dear Abby question, which I'll be very curious to hear what everyone's opinions are, including the audience. Hello to Bianca Phillips, who can only make it on Friday, so it's nice to do this show
Bianca.
In a way that Bianca can attend. Matt O'Connor, also a fan of the Friday shows. He's made that clear before. And Jody Shuck has also checked in. So hey to everybody, and feel free to chime in if you're here but haven't commented yet. So, before we get into it, we're trying to do this like combination No Meat Athlete Radio with Plant-Based Morning Show. So we're keeping the focus a little bit more on fitness, but there's plant-based stuff as well. So Doug, you mentioned the fitness topic that we got this Barclays Marathons thing. I thought that thing just
say happened. It again, Matt.
Barclay.
What is
Barclays?
It? What's it actually called?
The Barclays.
Barclay Marathon.
Oh, it's the Barclays. Oh, I thought it was Barclays, like the Barclays Women's Premier League in the bank sponsors it. It's not that?
No, it's not that.
Not that. So, no. Not that.
Okay. That's my mistake then. It's Barclays.
So close.
Last year, this guy, what's his name, won it, right? The vegan guy? Harvey Lewis.
Lewis.
Okay.
He did not win Barclays. He won the Biggs Backyard Ultra, which is another one by the same guy. Hold on a second.
different race though. They're both very difficult, both extreme in terms of what their organization is, but they are different. Look at Doug. He's going to go be an awesome dad right now, I think.
He did say he couldn't make it today because he had to do babysitting, and I said, "No, come on, you have to make it." And we'll have more people here. You can just go off when you need to. So he did give us a warning.
There you go. He's gone.
So in other words, Doug turned on the TV for his kids so he could come over here and work.
Yeah.
Got it.
Nature's baby.
Who knows?
We've all got it done. We've all done it.
All right. Anyway,
Doug, two different events.
Is your strategy right now just to turn on the TV for the
Yeah. No, so I'm single parenting again, or not single parenting. Someone fussed at me for saying that the other day. I am. My wife is traveling, so I am alone with the kids yet again this weekend, and I'm trying to podcast for the first time with a kid watching some.
Wait, someone got
Lippy, right?
Someone got offended right that you called it single parenting.
Yeah, because I think that a single parent.
Solo parenting.
Far harder. Solo parenting. There you go.
Of course.
That's what I call it.
You're doing that for a weekend. You're single parenting for the weekend. And it's impossible.
I'm so sick of the various definitions. I can't, like, are we co-parenting? Is that what's happening? I keep hearing these things. I'm like, I don't actually know if that applies to me. You know, the world's getting too complicated.
Yeah. Well, what's happening is that I have two kids by myself. One of them is still in school. One of them I just picked up and made her a nice, delicious vegan lunch. And now set her in front of the TV for the half hour the hour while we're recording.
Did you like that convincing, like, delicious vegan lunch, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's really good.
It's a pint of ice cream to ensure that she doesn't bother Doug during the podcast recording.
I said delicious, happening. Not nutritious.
Yes, you did. I mean, I wouldn't blame you, by the way. I've actually strategized something similar when I've had the kids and had to take a call. And I've like thought to myself, okay, I'm going to start out with like celery sticks, right? And then I'm going to go to like, you know, I don't know, popcorn. And then if things get really bad, I've got like, you know, whatever, like just ratcheting up things to distract them, generally along the lines of sweeter and sweeter food. So I don't blame you, man. We do what we have to do.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this actually is a fairly healthy lunch. It's a bunch of fruit, nuts.
It's okay. We're not actually judging you, Doug. It's okay.
Yeah, a peanut butter wrap.
Someone is. Someone is out there. That's what people do. All right, Matt, rein us back in. Where are we going with this?
Yeah, so Doug, tell us about this Barclays Marathons with Harvey Lewis. Did not win this one. Isabel told us he won Biggs Backyard Ultra. I mean, these are all the same to me. This is like the racing plus navigating or whatever it is you're doing.
Well, see, so Biggs is different. Biggs is you run a 4.16 mile loop every hour on the hour until there's only one person left. It was 450 miles that he battled it out every hour on the hour. This was like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely wild, incredible feat.
So that's Harvey Lewis. 100 hours.
He could have kept going too, is what he said.
So four days.
4 days.
100 hours. Straight. Four miles every hour for 4 days straight.
Yep.
And I think invited one of them to for our next summit, so I get to actually ask this guy, what is wrong with you?
and this is Harvey, right? I think Harvey's who we asked. He won last year. He's won Badwater times too. He won the Biggs Backyard thing.
Right. And so Barclay Marathon is very different. It's navigation through the woods, off trail, trying to find these hidden books and, you know, that to like prove that you checked in at various places. And you know, lots of bushwhacking through briars and all this stuff. I think there's 12,000 feet of climbing per loop on average. But people, you know, because there's no set course, it may take you twice as long or have to climb up and down a bunch of mountains several times. So that one is happening right now. Every year there's like zero to maybe three finishers. I think last year was the first time they had three finishers.
Mm-hmm.
Loop five is happening. Each loop, there's five loops. Each loop takes you have to finish and start your next loop within 12 hours. They're on their fifth loop right now. I think there's seven runners left, which is a lot for Barclay. And what's cool about this one is the first female runner is on her fifth loop. For the first time, a female runner is on the fifth loop.
No female runners ever made it four loops. Before, made it four full loops before.
That's right. Yep.
Wow.
So
there you go.
But Harvey was running. I was really excited to see how he would do because he crushed big so incredibly. He's won it a few times, I think. But he dropped. He didn't make it two loops. I think he lost. And part of that's the navigation stuff. If you get two turn around, then there's just no point in continuing on.
You know what the other part is? Not enough protein.
That's right. Not enough protein. That'll do it for you every time. Maybe he was lacking in omega-3s, a little B12.
What do you guys think? Vitamin D. Isn't there like a billionaire that's financing? Yeah, I think it's Peter Thiel that's financing a different version of the Olympics that does not ban performance enhancing drugs.
Wow.
So the idea is like, I know all the memes are, it's like, let's see how high a human can really jump, you know? It's like max out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I wonder at what point do we have like something like that where people, you know, it's like 8 days, 800 mile runs every hour. Like, how much can we push this thing?
That's true.
So anyway, the point of that question was, like, are there any limitations to, like, is this monitored in any way? Like, food, do you have to carry your own water? Are there support? Is like, are there rests? Right?
Yeah. Like, there's like a
team.
You can't have a crew except for at the home base, which at every lap every loop, which is 20 to 26 miles, depending on how far you go or what direction you go. You can have a crew there, but nowhere else throughout the course. I think there might be a couple water drops, but other than that, you're carrying all your own stuff. And I mean, it is like legit brutal out there because people, you know, are taking full 12 hours or more to finish a loop. And, you know, you're just kind of off on your own, bushwhacking through the woods. And no GPS watches, you have a map.
Paper map.
But nothing... nothing too crazy or no GPS, but nothing like that can help you navigate aside from a map and a compass, I think.
Wow.
Terrible.
Heavy. Okay.
It's intense.
So how is that related to cannabis good for running? I'm just looking at the title of the show. I think the insinuation is that you should not be high when trying to do these runs.
I wouldn't help you with navigating very much.
Bringing us back to the agenda.
Yeah, well, we'll get to there. We'll get to that in a minute after some warm-up stuff, some introduction and some weather report. But yeah, I think they probably are contraindicated, the Barclays Marathon and marijuana use. Be my guess.
Not a good choice.
All right. Anyway, Harvey, I reached out to him when he won Badwater, like good timing, mm-hmm. I guess, because he was too busy, obviously, to do anything. He didn't respond. He responded like a year later. He said, yeah, I'll be happy to come on your morning show. But haven't heard. I didn't even follow up. So maybe we'll get him. That'd be fun. We could talk about this. And then I guess is he doing the fitness over 40 thing, or is that not happening?
I don't know if he's confirmed.
Okay. Working on it.
Yeah.
We'll see. All right.
Yeah. Charlie Ingalls coming on. He's another elite vegan ultra runner.
He's the guy who did the desert run, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then went to prison.
That's right. Yep.
Is that taboo subject, or that we? Is that...
Oh no, that's part of his story. I mean, it was like a white collar crime thing. He went to prison. He was an addict. So there's all kinds of that's part of his big redemption story.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. All right. Good. Well, let's jump into something like a weather report. I guess it feels a little weird. I don't know why the stories are not the typical plant-based news weather reports, and fitness doesn't have a whole lot of breaking news. There is a Planet Fitness story, which I didn't put in here. You guys probably know that one. It's about some sort of transgender issue and a locker room photography. So I didn't go there. But
probably
I
got to mention it.
Probably not. This one's also sort of political. I mean, I guess it is political. Alicia Silverstone, I had no idea. We all know she's a vegan activist. Also a staunch supporter of RFK Jr.'s campaign. Doug, political correspondent, is he still in the election? I actually don't know. I thought he
is he genuinely
out.
Liked, is that what you said?
No,
is he still?
He was running and then he stopped running. Is that wrong?
Oh, no, he dropped out of the Democrat. He's no longer running as a Democrat. Now he's running as a third party candidate, but he's very much running for president.
Okay. Well, Alicia Silverstone apparently provided him with $427.25 worth of fromage, fancy LA vegan cheese, for some sort of event he did. And then he refunded her. Reimbursed her. His campaign committee reimbursed her for the expense, which isn't really that interesting, except I thought he was like total opposite of vegan things. Is that not accurate?
He's a big environmentalist. I mean, he's, I don't know. Do you want my opinion on RFK Jr.?
I'm not opinion. I don't know if he's good or bad. I just want to know, is he not?
We don't aggravate at least one person on some end of the spectrum on this conversation, there's no way that there'll be valuable, you know, value
right.
Transmit.
So there's obviously
I'm
a reason.
Fan of JFK. RFK, right? RFK. RFK.
Yeah, whoever likes JFK.
I'm a fan of RFK. Yeah. Not a fan of
I'm a fan. In fact, I recently saw that he did something like, you know, like 400 pull-ups or something, like, and beat out a bunch of young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow. And I think that is wonderful, especially in light of the two other people in this presidential race, you know, at 80 years old, right? Like, you know, when you look at the country, I think there would be a great benefit to our culture to have someone who has some vibrancy, right, the top job, you know, to show our kids and everything else. So I'm a fan. No one's perfect, and he's got some views that I don't agree with, but I don't know of one person in this world that I agree with all their views. So what can you say?
Good right. Dale. Doug, would you like a chance to respond?
Sure, if we want to go there.
dangerous game.
I absolutely agree that he the dude is fit for I forget how old he is, 70 something, and it's impressive, no doubt about it, and it would be inspiring for a lot of people. I also think that a lot of his views are quite dangerous, and we'll get kids, the same kids that he's inspiring, probably killed.
Ooh. Okay.
Oh.
Did Alicia Silverstone maybe jump on board?
Which views are going to get kids killed? The vax views? He is 70.
Sure. Yeah, the vax views.
He is.
Yeah.
This is a dangerous conversation that I'm going to move us
was
on.
Was Alicia Silverstone an anti-vaxxer before before COVID, like a vaccines cause autism?
I think so, yeah. She was one of the leaders in that, I think.
Okay. Well, that's probably why she's on board. And apparently that's why Aaron Rodgers might be his running mate. Is that any truth to that one?
Yeah, well, that's the rumor.
It is. Okay. I think I broke so that on the morning show.
So is it essentially like a full anti-vax ticket? Is that he's just assembling all the anti-vaxxers? Seems like that's the one issue that, you know, kind of divides whether or not you can be for or against him.
That's the biggest one for sure. He's also like anti-5G because it's going to cause cancer and all the main all those things. But yeah, I think he's kind of going all in on the anti-vax ticket. I mean, he hasn't announced his running mate yet, so we'll see.
He's got some fringe conspiracy theories for sure.
But
he did reimburse Alicia Silverstone.
What's funny about the story is that the story is that he just paid her back for the cheese.
For $4 worth of cheese.
I'm not sure why that's such a story, but
I don't either. I don't know why it's a story at all.
It's a tremendous amount of vegan cheese, though.
Not that much. I bet it's expensive to buy a pound of that cheese. I bet that's probably like 3 pounds of cheese that they got.
I told you guys my Erewhon story of vegan cheese, right? I went to just like the first, like I was in California and I saw vegan goat cheese, and it's been 10 years since I had goat cheese. So I was like, wow, I got to try this, right? Didn't look at the price because I, you know, it was a small round thing of goat cheese, literally this big, probably a couple ounces.
$35.
It was like $27. Yeah. It was crazy.
Was it good?
Like, actually, it wasn't. Maybe I don't remember what goat cheese tastes like, but it was not like, it was definitely not worth. I mean, each little cracker with some cheese on it was like $5. So it was not worth it to me. But hey, by the way, Dale brings up a great point. Just because you don't want to vax, that means you're anti.
Hmm. Okay.
I appreciate that. A little nuance to this world.
That's true.
A world of polarity and extremism. Thank you, Dale.
Yeah. Always appreciate it.
How do people feel about goat cheese? Is that one we can all agree on? All right.
On to the next AI news. We always love to kind of dunk on AI when possible. NVIDIA has announced they partnered with a healthcare startup, Hippocratic AI, and they're offering a bunch of beautifully airbrushed $9 per hour nurses, who are AIs, of course, who could replace humans in areas of patient care that can be done virtually. We on the morning show a while ago, I remember when we first talked about AI, as we now and then do. Somebody in our audience was like, well, I'm a nurse, so thankfully my job will never be in any trouble due to this. And here we go. This is happening. So, I mean, I guess this is cool. I guess I wouldn't have any problem going to an AI nurse, even an AI doctor. I'm on board with that.
Are you?
I think, I don't think most.
I mean, I think the use case that they're using these AI nurses for, like the follow-up appointments and that, like, I do think a lot of that can be automated if you're a generic patient that doesn't have like special needs with your follow-up appointment. Like if you're good, like what I'm thinking about is my husband broke his collarbone and had to have surgery to put in a plate and screws in his collarbone, and his follow-up appointments, they were like, hey, can you lift your arm? And he like did. They're like, oh, your range of motion's good. Okay, cool. See you later. And like that easily an AI could have done that. And so like that kind of appointment was pointless for him to actually go and see a physical human being. But that's my opinion.
So there are plenty. Here's the thing. When I get something wrong with me, I research the heck out of it and I go crazy and I stress myself out and I think I'm going to die and all these things. And then I finally come to some diagnosis and conclusion. And then I go to the regular doctor and it almost doesn't matter what they say to me. So I'm already sure of the answer by the time I get there. So this AI is just going to do the same thing that the doctor, same thing I'm doing, and they're going to do it better. So I think this is okay. They're going to draw on a lot of research. They're going to use some algorithms, and they're going to tell me what I probably have. Right?
I mean, the studies would suggest that we are all going to be interacting with AI physicians, physician's assistants, etc. increasingly. Perhaps it will start. It'll almost undoubtedly start with a physician that is empowered, right? Assisted by a lot of AI, but like, it's just going to increasingly get to a point, just like self-driving cars. It's a great analogy that at some point it will no longer be legal for a human to drive cars, because think about it. We have two eyes. We can drink alcohol. We can get distracted by our phones. We can have kids screaming at us or throwing Cheez-Its at us, right? Like all sorts of things can happen that can distract humans. Whereas a computer, the sheer processing power, not to mention 25 cameras in every direction, like there's no way that a human can drive better, right, than a car at some point in time, right? Given enough technological advancement, I think it's arguable that that's going to be sooner than later. So I think you're going to say the same thing with doctors, and they've already shown that in a lot of cases, especially the fringe cases, Isabel. I disagree that like the more specialized the issue, they've shown that like someone inputted their kid's symptoms after five different specialists couldn't figure out what was going on. And ChatGPT found some esoteric, like, you know, illness, and turns out that was it. And, you know, they solved this autoimmune issue, or were able to treat it, right? Like the fact that machines can pull on the entire universe of WebMD, right? PubMed, right? Every published study can be translated, synthesized, and rendered, you know, instantaneously. Like, humans can't compete with that. So I know it's dystopian. It's hard to imagine, right? Like that we would trust that, but like we're trusting in some cases folks that went to medical school 40 years ago to look at something on your arm and be like, oh yeah, no, you're fine. Or you're not fine. Like I would actually trust computers sooner than later.
I want to test this now. I'm going to go to ChatGPT and just start putting symptoms in.
There's an entire industry figuring this out while all of us are focused on nutrition. And I'm telling you, some of the stuff that they're figuring out is like just absolutely stunning.
I think there's always going to be a role of both. Like, I mean, unless computers can get really good at critical thinking and problem solving, but you know, obviously like an AI nurse that does your intake and maybe makes some recommendations to the doctor, kind of points the doctor in the right direction. Like that could happen now, and I think that that would probably be effective now, and even way more effective in the future at diagnosing things. But I don't know. Like I think that sometimes like you actually have to have someone lay eyes on you and not just answer questions and look at things. And I don't know.
But there will always be a role for the human. But when you say critical thinking, just keep in mind that what's happening is pattern recognition, right? And that is all humans are today. It's just, and that is what a great doctor would do, right? They'd see a pattern in you, right? Based on the questions that you answer, the symptoms that you show, and they would suggest, this is what's happening. This is what will happen unless we intervene and do such and such, right? And that's what AI is really good at. In fact, I just saw something where this like physics, or maybe it's applied math research, had this did some proof, some theorem, right? And hadn't published it. It's not on the internet. It was like, this is novel thinking by this like, you know, Harvard level type physicist. Writes his proof out, doesn't end the proof, right? Submits it to like ChatGPT and says like, how would you solve this, right? And the computer can do it because it can pattern match. Right? And like, it's, I don't know if that's, you call it critical thinking or not, but it can draw on, I mean, just tremendous amounts of data. So I don't know. I think we're going to look back at this and we'll see if it's good or bad, but I'm pretty bullish on the fact that computers are better at this stuff than humans are already.
All right, moving on. Almost done this weather report. U.S. is falling behind when it comes to happiness. For people under 30, the U.S. dropped to number 23 in the world from number 15 last year, meaning first time it hasn't cracked the top 20 since 2012 when the thing began. It's all according to Morning Brew, by the way. Finland, number one, and has been for some time. I think those Scandinavian countries often get it, and somehow people think it's because of their education, the way they do education. I forget exactly what the reason is, but there you go. No surprise there. I mean, I would think we'd be way lower than 20, actually, or 30. Just based on what our country is like.
Brutal.
So much pessimism filling that.
And finally, this is the reason to be happy though. DoorDash has begun using drones to deliver. In this case, it's a Wendy's only, and it's only in Charlotte's Roanoke, Virginia, I think. But as long as you only order certain items on the menu and it's between certain hours and you live within 3 miles of this one Wendy's, you can get your thing airdropped to you basically by a drone. I mean, I think this is cool. I think, don't you think there's always gonna be a role for humans in that
for the
too?
10 people.
No, no, I think I'm drones are definitely gonna take over the world. no, I think this is cool. I would, do they drop it? Like, do they hang out and then just like parachute it down? How does it work?
Yeah. It's a thing. It hovers above you. There's a little string on it and it just drops it. No parachute involved, but they do drop. It's a string, just falls. Just
frosty.
Yeah. So
I saw, okay. Oh man. I'm going to be pulling on a memory from like 6 months ago, but, it's relevant here. Speaking of it, kind of merging the doctor and the drone delivery. There is a country in Eastern Africa, maybe Ethiopia, can't quite remember, where they have trouble getting medical supplies to various like small villages. So they set up this thing where like a small doctor can call in to this main headquarters, and they'll pack up the food, launch these drones, you know, 500 miles or something like that, and then they just parachute the medicine and stuff down to these little villages, and then the drone turns around and comes back. And I'm like, that is so incredibly brilliant. And
Hunger Games. An advancement.
That is really cool. And yet here in the US, we are using it for Wendy's delivery.
It's important things as well.
Priorities. For a 3 mile radius.
All right, moving on. We got two more topics for today. I guess this last one's sort of still weather report, and then we'll get into our main discussion. This is the Dear Abby, and we often do the Am I the A-hole things from Reddit. This isn't quite that, but I think it's interesting. Here's the synopsis. A guy says, my wife and I have been teachers since 1999. We married in 2011. She became vegan in 2017. It helped her beat diabetes, which I love. However, she's pure vegan for animal rights and listens to vegan podcasts all day long after teaching and on the weekend. So this, she may listen to us in the morning. She could be listening right now. She could be Bianca or whoever. I mean, anyone. Who knows who? We have no kids together. Oh, sorry. Right now she's listening to vegan podcasts. No, I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. Had to make my joke. It says, I mean, all day, every day with earbuds in. I have to say knock, knock to even talk with her. Right now she's listening to podcasts and messaging vegan people on social media and doesn't even realize I'm typing. I love my wife, but I can't escape the frustration of not being able to have a conversation with her about anything. We have no kids. He raised her son, but his son had to move out because of the obsessions with work and veganism to the dad's house. He says, I love her, but the fridge is filled with kale. Should I stay or should I go? Signed, Afterthought in Oregon. Born and raised PNW is here, I think. You might be able to chime in. Maybe she's her. I think it's KDC. Yeah. All right. Before we read the response, anyone have a thought here? No one. People think this is fine. You just do, if you got a passion, you just.
No, like this. I mean, I just love that we're talking about this because obviously it's like the vegan word. Oh my goodness. She's listening to these vegan podcasts. So obviously we need to talk about clearly it's like, hey man, you and your wife need to talk about like some boundaries with what you're listening to, you know, having some space to be able to be with each other.
We need to invite this person on the pod.
Oh yeah. So if you're listening,
sounds like she knows everything.
Right. I mean, she might be a great like co-host.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's very good chance she consumes our content. Just say, if she listens to podcasts all day long,
yeah,
certainly would have let us know if you are.
Mm-hmm.
Please do.
What if we added her husband here and
hey, you.
All right, so
maybe we should make this show all about Dear Abby letters. I mean,
I wish there were enough these and MIDA holes, and it would be great. That would be all we need. Here's a response. I think this is a fantastic response from Abby, I guess. Tap your wife on the shoulder and ask her to remove her earbuds. When she does, give her an earful. See what she did there with the earbuds, earful. Tell her you love her, but you need a partner who's willing to be more of a companion than she has become. Tell her you shouldn't have to ask permission to talk to her because of her preoccupation, obsession with her podcast. If you want food in the house that isn't vegan, go out and buy some. If she's unwilling or unable to accept and adapt, try marriage counseling before calling a lawyer. The marriage you've described is not a happy one, or you wouldn't have written. That's it. No bashing vegans.
Great response.
Yeah. No,
it is nothing about throwing out kale from the fridge, you know?
No, right. Kale's okay. It seems like everyone's entitled to their own food. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing better to say to this. This is perfect advice.
Here's one thing to add.
Okay.
This is written to the woman, not to the husband.
Okay.
Or directed to the woman. And that is that life is way better without your earbuds in. And I, as someone who listens to a lot of podcasts and a lot of talk radio and
that's right, you're Mr. Podcast guy.
Every time I do something without them on, I realize how much I enjoy being present and doing that activity, even if it's just washing the dishes. So I would say I am addicted to podcasts or addicted to consuming media in audio form. And I like it when I don't. There you go.
Good. Okay. I think the problem applies to a whole lot of situations that aren't vegan. I think there are a lot of spouses. I'm probably one of them who obsesses over, you know, the new thing of the month or whatever that you're into. And, you know, you don't always make time for other stuff. What? FIFA? No, I don't think you're doing that.
There's FIFA, there's golf, there's kettlebells, there's peasant cooking. Yep. I mean, let's not pigeonhole Matt Fraser into FIFA.
Exactly.
He has various intense habits.
Yeah. And so I think I do this a lot, but I don't know. I mean, yeah. But you need to be reasonable. You gotta be mindful and say, okay, I gotta take some time away from this thing and you know, do some other things, be a good husband, be a good father, all these things. So
can't forget about your loved ones while you are trying to consume and learn things.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
I think Doug's suggestion is very wise, which is that being present in the moment and not having your audio books or podcasts, whatever, in is, needless to say, a very important point. But the other one, right, is like, is this particularly offensive because we're talking about veganism and that's such like a hot button, right? Like that's such a thing, right? Because like, you know, and this maybe is what you're getting at, Matt, like there are a lot of particularly men who are obsessed with sports, right? Like they listen to the sports talk shows, they listen to the sports podcasts, they watch sports like all of Sunday, right? It's all about football, whatever, March Madness, right? They're just obsessed with sports, right? Like, and the question is, does the spouse love them for who they are and their obsession with sports, right? And can they disconnect from sports long enough to be present and in a loving relationship with their spouse? You know, maybe this one in particular, like I said, triggers something for this gentleman who obviously is not a fan of the vegan lifestyle, but I'm not sure that has anything to do with it. I think it's more so there's some disconnects there. Like, do you love them for who they are and what they love?
Yep. I think that's very
Bianca's got a hot take here. I think this man just sounds sounds needy and he needs to let his wife have her thing. And then Aaron follows it up with, yep, he sounds a little needy, like a little needy man.
So here's the vegan stepping up to defend the vegan lifestyle.
I think we should have them. I think we should, like, who is that guy? Mari or Jerry Springer? This show could go in a very interesting direction where we have both, right? Even a little bit of a Judge Judy flavor. Let's get both of them on here. Let's hear them out. Let's allow the community to decide and comment and interrogate.
All right.
Sounds like some communication needs to happen, basically.
I did not mean to highlight the comment about misogyny, but I did that. So there's that.
Katie,
tons of comments. Thank you for all the engagement, by the way. With four people here, we don't have that much time to like get into all of them. But Betrehi, I don't know how to pronounce your name, but just blowing up the chat with comments. So I like this. Love the participation. Thank you, everyone, for keeping it going in the chat. All right, last thing. Main thing of the day.
Hold on. Just open invitation to this woman. If we're talking about you, shoot us a DM on Instagram or an email, and you're welcome on the show.
Yeah.
What about the husband?
No.
He's not listening.
No, he's not.
He'll never know.
Yeah, he's not listening.
All right, last thing, headline story. This is from colorado.edu. Listen to that, of all places. The armpit of the country. Study, cannabis can make workouts more fun, but it's no performance enhancer. And it's
what a surprise.
It's what it sounds like and what you would expect. Shocker. The drugs make it more fun, but they make you terrible at it. Who would have thought? Yeah, I mean, it basically said that. It didn't improve anyone's performance at running. Some people thought it did. 28% of people think it improves their performance when they choose it for workouts. They also just degrade, impair the judgment of how you're performing.
Such a good run today. Feel great.
But a lot of people say it makes it a lot better. And I'm actually interested for this reason, because I've never experienced this so-called runner's high. I talk all the time about how I don't really like running. I really enjoyed the training for goals. It was a great vehicle for doing things that I thought were impossible. You know, it's fantastic to kind of teach yourself that. But I never enjoyed it. But the runner's high, whatever it sounds like Doug experiences, whatever he runs, he talks about how just great running is in general without marijuana of any kind. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like something I'd like to experience. So I'm a little
curious. You've never experienced that?
Never, ever. I mean, I hadn't even considered it. I've tried a few times in college. I went to the gym after drinking a couple beers and I hated it. It was the worst thing ever. I was like,
that's your closest to experiencing the runner's high is going to the gym after a couple beers.
Yeah,
not the same. Terrible.
Like I couldn't do anything. I'm trying to do pull-ups, Doug. And it was like, I was just so felt exhausted. I couldn't breathe very well. You know, just short
of course you were
just
drunk.
Yeah.
This is terrible. So
you never went for a run and then like just felt good afterwards.
Oh, I thought you were talking about marijuana.
Oh.
No. She asked you. She was surprised you've never experienced the runner's high.
You said runner's high, as in the runner's, not the. Okay.
Yeah, no, I've been a little bit happy. Like I'm like glad I got that done. I'm glad, but I never come home and felt like euphoric and like wow, like that was amazing, or I can't wait to run again. Mm-hmm. Just not that fun.
But okay, so looking deeper at this study, I just find this fascinating. 90.5% say it increased enjoyment of the run. 69% say it decreased pain. 59% said it increased focus, and 57% increased motivation, and like you said, 45% said if they felt like they got faster, and then 30% say they felt like they improved performance. So we know they're not getting faster. We know it's not actually improving performance. But the other stuff, decreased pain, increased enjoyment, increased focus, increased motivation, like that's all big stuff if you're talking about people who, you know, might not be running otherwise. I don't know.
You're right. I mean, if that gets you to exercise.
Yeah,
it's true. But if it doesn't actually, I guess for somebody who is going out for performance related goals, like if it makes you feel faster, but you're not actually faster, like I don't think that's a good combination, regardless if like you enjoy it more and you have less pain, like you're still not performing. Right. Better.
For performance reasons, you wouldn't want it. If you were serious about performing and reaching goals, probably not something to use. But if you're in so much pain that you can't run very much, because it's just miserable, then it might be a good thing if it could allow you to do it. When I was in Kansas City last summer, a guy in a used bookstore, I was talking about my book actually, because he had it in there. I made the mistake of saying, hey, this is mine. You want me to sign it? Aaron convinced me to do that. And I did. And I was like, regretted it immediately because he started saying, he was like, oh, I don't know about that vegan thing. I was not. But then he was like, but you know what I do? Smoke marijuana every time I go run, and it's amazing for trail running. And I like, it just never occurred to me that anyone did that. But this guy said it was great.
A lot of people do that.
It's pretty common. It's a thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Okay. Long runs, short runs. Yeah, it's a big thing.
For long runs too, or like just like mm-hmm. quick little workouts.
Yeah, both.
I mean, that's everything.
I mean, I wouldn't say. I have no idea if anyone. I'm sure people are doing it, but it seems like most time it's kind of slow trail runs, longer runs, or just kind of going out for an hour and a half or whatever, and. And that type of run more than a speed workout or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the study, they were on a treadmill. So I would, if it increased that enjoyment, I mean, that's a good thing, first of all,
treadmill running is terrible.
Yeah, so no wonder it helped. But I would imagine that, like, if you're out on a trail, it would perhaps enhance it even more because you're kind of out in nature and you can convene with the trees and things, and it just could be good. So yeah, I don't know. I guess it's cool. I kind of thought it was sort of a controversial thing, but Doug's saying everyone does it. Not everyone. No, he's not saying everyone does it. What he's saying is it's very common among ultra runners.
It's a common thing. Yeah, definitely.
I didn't know that.
Kate C said, points out that a 5 milligram edible is perfect for runs. Edibles, I think, are very common right now among many runners.
You gotta get the quickly into your bloodstream, though, right? You don't. It takes like 2 hours if you get a normal one.
Yeah. Well, I think edibles definitely take longer. I mean, but I guess it depends on when you take it, right? You can just take it.
Is that like your runner, like the running fuel?
It's just your gummy. Yeah, it's your gummies.
Oh, yeah. You're like mixing it with cliff blocks and
yeah.
and your edible. Yeah.
Back and forth.
Mm-hmm. All right. Bianca says she enjoys running and drinking. On a hash run, I'll usually drink 3 to 4 beers, and that's fun. Actually makes me run faster. What's a hash run? I used to know what this was. It's a trail runner thing, and I forget what it is.
I can't remember either, but I think you run to a couple different bars maybe and or have like.
You could tell us what a hash run is.
I'll have to look it up. I used to, in DC, I used to run home from bars a lot, like go to happy hour after work and then change in the bathroom and run home.
Uh-huh.
And it was always a good time.
Interesting.
I used to do that in college. I was so impatient if I was walking home and had been drinking, I would just run instead. I wouldn't like change clothes or have anything like that. I just like, you know, would prefer to run than walk.
You know what I did in college? Hitchhiking. You ever get into hitchhiking? Like in college days?
You hitchhiked?
My friends and I started hitchhiking and we started getting rides like completely drunk. And people would pick us up and then drive us around. You just start walking down the road and people are like, well, those poor people have to walk.
Do we think that happens still today? I mean, I feel like back when cell phones didn't exist or were at least much less prevalent and useful and there was no Uber, like maybe people took pity on the drunk college kid and picked him up. But like, it just feels that now I could not imagine that is functional as a strategy for transportation.
Maybe. I couldn't imagine Matt Fraser doing that now.
That too.
No, I wouldn't now. I'm more careful now about things. Back then, I was a little more reckless, I guess. All right.
Matt, how much would it take to bribe you to go out with like a little GoPro? Again, going in the direction of Jerry Springer for this show, right? Like I would love to get you on video hitchhiking today. I mean, how much would I feel like that's worth it? Huh? Me and Doug can pitch in and see what I mean. $1,000 for you to go hitchhiking?
I am somebody now, so I could be kidnapped and ransomed. I was a nobody back then. People didn't know who I was. Now they say we have the nomad athlete, and he's
wait, yeah, you're the nomad athlete. Oh
my god, it's just incredible. I would love to see the video in there. It's like, hey man, thanks for picking me up. Did you know I'm a New York Times bestselling author?
All right, Bianca has clarified hash clubs are hash clubs meet up and run from bar to bar, like Doug said, and usually do 3 to 4 miles over the course of several hours. Well, I did that with a running group before, but we didn't call it hash club. It was called just like bar run or something like that, bar crawl. I don't know.
It sounds like fun.
Yeah, but I can't 3 to 4 beers does not sound like it'd be fun to run with. Anyway, who knows?
One more comment on this article, which they say is surprising, and I say it's surprising too. Surprisingly, the heightened mood was even greater in the CBD group than it was the THC group, suggesting that athletes may be able to get some of the benefits without impairment that can come with THC. So there you go.
And without breaking the law in some places. So that's
That's right.
Did they do that on like the pain tolerance too? Or is it just the level of enjoyment that they...
Yeah, I don't know if they're rated that. I didn't look at the study.
CBD is like is super common for pain tolerance.
For pain, to do
right,
so.
Yeah. Right, yeah. I would imagine there's plenty of data on that if you look probably. For it, but I don't know.
I just didn't know if this study tested that.
That's... Right, they probably did. It just, I didn't, like I said, I just read the summary article. I didn't look at the actual thing. Interesting. All right, well, we're out of time, 45 minutes. Mr. Jeffrey says the chat is wild. This chat is chaos. So that's good to know. I wish I honestly had time to keep up with every bit of it, but I didn't. Vegan Stallion has checked in, who often comes on the morning shows and gives good if controversial opinions, I guess. I don't know. Maybe controversial. I don't always agree with them. I don't like edibles. They take too long to kick in, and then they last forever. Glad he's able to control the dosage. Homemade edibles can be dangerous. Well, you can get edibles that quicken faster. They have them now. They take about 30 minutes, not 2 hours. Public service method.
Okay.
Different kind of running fuel, everybody.
All right, Matt, $2,500, and but you have to take an edible first,
and then do the hitchhiking,
and go hitchhiking, wearing a GoPro. I feel like this could go viral. It's going to go viral. I can just see Matt giggling uncontrollably in the back of his car.
I think you would have to know me for it to be entertaining, because I'm sure there's no shortage of people who
Yeah, I don't think so.
Do dumb stuff. Put eat edibles and go do dumb things.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Right. All right. Well, that's it. Thank you, everyone, for a very active chat. Really appreciate it. Lots of people in the audience today. So thank you for showing up and listening to the four of us in this morning show style format in the afternoon. Let us know if you liked it, please. We do want to solicit lots of feedback on this stuff. So I don't know how you let us know, but just do. You could let us know in the comments, I guess, but it's too late because we're closing the show. We're done.
You can always comment on the YouTube video. And if you're listening to this on your podcast feed, then go to YouTube. You can watch us. Way more fun. Watch Matt looking at his phone right now, not paying attention to the chat.
Get him.
You can you can watch me ducking in and out because I take care of my kid. Oh, and Matt is officially
he
gone.
Just decided to leave.
I may have offended him too much. yeah, no, you should go to YouTube. It's way better over there. It's awesome. NoMeatAthlete or youtube.com/NoMeatAthlete. We're there 4 days
and
a week.
Leave comments because the last or like two of these ago when there were four of us on there, I think it was the last time there were all four. The only comment on that episode, someone it said, "This might be the worst podcast I've ever listened to." So, go there and take something nice. That would actually
thanks.
I mean, look, I think what we want to do is we want to strive to not bore people, and if we're going to be something, we might as well be the best or the worst.
Fantastic
as long
point.
As we're
right.
not the middle.
Yeah, I don't want to as be. You want indifference. We want opinions, good or bad. We'll take them.
I do want to just comment that we should start a crowdfund because I feel like if I pay Matt Frazier to go hitchhiking high, that isn't as entertaining as if we crowdfund this thing. So, Doug, maybe we can work that into the email schedule.
I bet the morning show loyals would do that.
All right. I'm leaving.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for showing up.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for the great comments. See you later.